My phone battery is low, so the scripture that I have is, anyways, just bear with me while, you know, an imperfect person attempts to talk to you what Jesus has revealed to her. Anyways, so real quick, though, back in the fall, I think, Hannah, is that when you had that dream about the snakes? Or, like, was that around Christmas, a little before Christmas time? Anyways, several months ago, Hannah had a dream that she talked to us about, that we were walking along, and we were kind of drudging along, I guess, as a fellowship, and there were snakes around our feet, and I personally was alarmed that I was not aware that there were snakes around my feet or my ankles. I think that that's kind of ridiculous that I'm so dull to snakes being around my feet. And I was talking to God about this, and he brought me to Numbers 21, and when there's the bronze serpent, and anyways, I'm just going to read so I don't screw it up. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." Okay, I got to time out a second. So I was reading this, and I was like, I was so angry at them, because I was like, why are they even talking to Moses about this? Like, why are they not just going to the Lord themselves? And so I started, you know, to pray about that for myself, too, and I encourage you guys to pray about that, too, that if you're going to someone or someone in authority that you think you need to go to, as opposed to the Lord, kind of what Steve was talking about this morning, your first response should be Jesus, not your best friend or not whoever your accountability partner is. Uh-oh, I might have just lost a spot. Oh, well, I'll find it later. Okay, So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." Simple, pretty simple, right? They get bit, all they have to do is look at the serpent. Okay, so Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. So I think this is like foreshadowing a little bit about the cross. And so then the Lord brought me to Romans. I think that's what I want to read next. Sure. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." And the renewal of your mind is simply just looking at Jesus, at the cross, at things that are pure and lovely and holy and true and noble. So I was thinking about it more, and the Lord was like, well, just check out what transformation there is originally written. So I did, and it's actually transfiguration is the word there. And so I went and I read about the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's in Matthew 17. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light." So we have access to this by simply gazing at Christ. "And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him, and Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.'" So kind of what Tammy was talking about this morning, like, don't just chill here, guys. Like, that's kind of like what Peter, like he was saying, like, let's just stay here. I just want to stay here and do this and be here all the time. Then Jesus says, let me find it. "He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Tell no one the vision, until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.' And the disciples ask him, 'Then why do the scribes say that the first Elijah must come?' And he answers, 'Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that, that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands.' Then the disciples understood that he was speaking of them, to them of John the Baptist." So basically, Jesus took them down off the mountain. And then just to kind of like wrap it up as a final encouragement, like, because this is for me too, like, logically speaking, I could say, well, just think in your life, like, you know, how many non-Christian friends do you have? Or just think in your life, like, you know, we could get logical about it. Sorry, my mom's telling me to slow down. I'm a fast talker. Logically, we could say, you know, we could, like, look in our lives and, like, say like that. But I don't even say do that. I just say, like, simply talk to the Lord about it. Just ask Jesus. Like, speaking of my mom, she says this thing about how we all have a bubble. Like, we're all in a bubble, and our bubbles touch certain everyone else's bubbles. And whatever bubbles your bubbles are touching, your bubble is touching, that's who Jesus put in your life. Like, it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. But even that, to me, sometimes can be, like, don't just go on your own logic. Because, I mean, the cross is, like, Jesus's God's wisdom at its, like, purest form. And to our minds, we're like, it's hard for us to understand that. So I would just encourage you just to pray and ask Jesus to guide you, because that's the only way that, like, you're actually going to be effective. So, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, every snake, and sin, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And one final thing, because I feel like some of us are kind of at different places in this progression of things that I just talked about, and I feel like some of you are even past this, and so I would encourage you, if you're like, okay, I know this, yeah, okay, whatever, go and read in Hebrews 12 where it talks about discipline, because then that hit me too, like, because it's not just hunky-dory, it is difficult. And when on Friday, I had such a horrible day on Friday. Like, I work with some pretty rough kids, and I never think, like, I love my job, but on Friday, I, like, seriously thought, I was like, I have a one-year contract, like, I could quit at the end of this year. I mean, it's not going to be easy, like, it's difficult, but it's worth it. So just, if you're there, go read Hebrews, that might help you. So that was a lot. Anyways, that's it.